In Malachi chapter 3, we'll start reading today at verse number 2, just like we did last week, and we'll read verses 2, 3, and 4. He said, "But who may abide the day of His coming?" That's the question. "And who shall stand when He appeareth?" Question number 2. "For He is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years." Now, we've been talking about, and last week we talked about the refiner's fire. And I want to kind of go back and look at this in verse 1 so that you won't forget where we are. In verse 1 of this chapter, he's talked about, "Behold, I will send my messenger." Of course, we talked about John the Baptist, and then we talked about the Lord. He's the real messenger that's coming. And we find he does that. The Bible said that he shall suddenly come to his temple in that verse. And we got the idea and the thought that the Lord is the one that's going to come, and He's the one that's going to do the work. Now, we've got to remember when we come to verse 2, we were talking about His coming. Now, this is going to be like the day of the Lord. You remember the theme of Joel was the day of the Lord. And Malachi is referring to that day of the Lord as well. And he is a prophet. He's prophesying. He's telling us this. And he says when he comes, who's going to be able to stand? Who's going to be able to abide by it? Or who's going to be able to stand at his appearing? We went through that. We looked at it. And then he said, "For he is like a refiner's fire." Now, if you'll stop and study that today, you'll look at it, and you'll see some things that God has got for us here, and it'll be a blessing as we do it. But He's coming to purify. The refiner, that's what He does. He purifies. He purifies. The refiner is the one that does the process on the metals. And the fire is what brings it out. And we talked about that last week, that we're put on the fire many times, are we not? We're really certainly put under the fire. God is trying to do something for us and through us to help us. And notice in verse 3, and I'm going to borrow that to put back in verse 2, "And he shall sit as a refiner." There's an importance there. And he's going to sit. The refiner sits. There's a reason for that, and it's in the process. He's going to purify, in that verse, the silver. And then on down below, the Levites, he's going to do the sons of the Levi, purify them, purge them. He's going to purge them as gold and silver. Now, we do know that gold and silver are the two most precious metals. God uses that throughout Genesis, or from Genesis through Revelation. Gold and silver are the most precious things. Even to this day, gold and silver are the most precious. Now, God is not trying to look at the preciousness of the gold and the silver as far as what it's worth. He's using this as an application to, first of all, His people, the Jews and the Levites in particular here, that they get things right, because we know they've got it wrong. They're offering the wrong offerings and doing the wrong things. And not that we'll see the importance of the silver and the gold, but that we'll see what it is for God to purify. And then we go a little further, and I believe you can see that God is not only trying to, in Malachi's day, trying to purify the Jew or the Levites. God is working today in the church. You've got to remember, we're in the church age. And in the Old Testament time, the Jew was his gold and his silver, his most precious possession of the Old Testament, right? You'd have to agree with that if you look at it. Now, the gold and the silver was his people. And that included the Levites and the prophets and all those that in there, particularly here in this particular lesson, is the Levites who are the priests. And so he's trying to let us see that. Now today, the most important part of the jewels, and we make up the jewel, and you're going to find that in the book of Malachi here in a later study. But we find that God is letting us know that we're jewels, and the church is the I guess the real main instrument, and not just guessing, but I know that the church is God's real main instrument He's using today to win souls. Ain't that right? Not the Jew. Now, the Bible talks about the Jew as the apple of God's eye. Now, the apple of God's eye today in the New Testament time would be His church. God works everything through the church. God worked everything through the Jew in the Old Testament, did He not? Everything, He didn't work to the Gentiles. He didn't go to other nations. He went to Israel. He went to His people. And God worked from Genesis through Malachi with the Jew, and part of the New Testament with the Jew, until they sidelined Him and put Him on, you know, sidelined themselves and put themselves on the sideline and rejected the Lord Jesus. And then we find that God has put the church on the main line, and now the church is the apple of God's eye, and it's an instrument of righteousness for God's sake, and that's how we get the gospel out. Now, it's very interesting when you look at this. Fire is important, and the burning the fire is what gets the metals right. So if you take gold and silver, in particular silver, I've read a little bit about it. I don't know a whole lot about it, but in Bible days or in days gone by, today they got all the different chemicals and different ways of doing things and extracting gold and getting the purities the impurities out of it. And gold and silver with impurities are not valuable enough. It's not as valuable until you get the impurities out. Now, the impurities in the gold, and we know silver is what we call dross. You get dross on the silver. Silver, if it's polished, shines. Amen. But you know what? When it gets the dross, if any of you have got any silverware, I mean talking about real silverware, it'll get tarnished. You have to polish it. You have to work on it to make it look, and it gets a dross. Well, it ain't pretty. And it gets that dull sheen to it, or that dull finish to it, and you have to polish that. I don't have that problem. Me and my wife's never had to polish silver. We've never had none. But some of you may have a little of it. And, you know, your gold, I hear them talking about it all the time. Their gold rings and their necklaces and their silver. They have to have something to kind of clean it. You have to clean it, don't you, to make it shine. Puts that shine back on it. But now if you've got gold and silver that's got no, whether it's got impurities or dross on it, it's not genuine or not the best in the world. It may still be silver, it may still be gold, but it's got impurities. And the best thing to do is get it cleaned up. Now, that's what the Lord's trying to do here. They would put that silver, say silver for instance, they would put that silver in whatever they're going to do, and they'll put it in whatever little container they're going to put it in that they can heat it with. They put the fire under it. And as they begin to heat that silver, a certain temperature, that silver begins to start changing colors a little bit, and then it starts melting. It's got a melting point. Like gold, it's got a melting point. All metals have a melting point. And so the refiner puts it in there. He begins to watch that gold or that silver and see that it gets purified or gets melted, that gets into a liquid molten state. And a lot of times they add things in it, borax, or sometimes I've heard them put lead and different things in there. And what that does is they begin to heat that, all the impurities begin to run to that extra that they put in it. And it pulls it out. And then after it cools, after while, it kind of puts on the top, skim it off, and now what's under there is your pure silver. Well, it also goes through several colors by putting the fire to it. And that's why the refiner has to sit. Notice this. It's important to notice it. But who may abide, of course, in verse 2 and verse 3, and he shall sit. Who? As a refiner. He's talking about God here. But the refiner, what's he got to do? He's going to sit. What's he sitting for? He's got to watch. He's got to make sure the temperature gets up right at the right place and liquefies that, but he can't get it too hot. He begins to destroy it if it gets hotter than that. And so he can't continue to go on. He's got to hold it at that temperature to let them impurities come out. And he's got to hold it right there. He's got to watch it. He's got to turn the heat up. He's got to back the heat off. He's got to make sure that it's just right. And it sparks and it or different color light comes through it. And he watches that because at a certain point, it's going to be a flash. And when that flash is there, the refiner begins to see himself in that silver. When he sees himself in that silver, he says, "That's it, right there. It's purified. All the impurities out." Now you say, what's the significance of that? This. The Lord turns the heat up on you and your soul, and he puts you through troubles and trials. Amen. God leads you through some of those things. What's He trying to do? He's trying to purify you. And He puts it, and so He watches. He knows just when. I need to turn the heat up just when. We're not at the melting point yet. And so the Lord turns it up just a little bit more. And then He gets it up. You know, if God turns the heat on us enough, we'll buckle. God knows that. Some of us will buckle a little bit quicker than others. Amen. And some of us get stubborn. When you put the fire to us, we get stubborn. Amen. So God has to turn it up just a little notch higher. Amen. Some of us give in to God a lot quicker. So the refiner is sitting there, and that's what God's doing. He's watching you. What does He want? He's wanting you to be like silver that He can see Himself in. We're Christians. He wants us to be Christ-like. He wants to see Himself in you and me. He wants us to have the same attitude, the same mind, the same heart, the same desire, the same life. God wants us to have the same thing He is. God wants to make us and fashion us in His own likeness. Amen. You said, boy, He's had a tough time with me. That's why He's still turning the fire up. Amen. You wonder why things get rough every once in a while on you. God's still turning the fire. Amen. We're melting, but we hadn't got the impurity. The spark hadn't come, and He ain't been able to see Himself in us yet. So He's still working on us. And that little song is, He's still working on me. And He's still working on you. And that's the truth, isn't it? God's working on us. He has to continually work on us. But now I want to give you something on the other side of the page, and just for a thought for a minute. Go to the book of Ephesians, please. And you'll see with me in the book of Ephesians what God is going to do. Now, I can say this, that He's trying, at this particular place, He's working on the Jew. He's wanting to get the Jew correct. He's wanting to get him right. He's trying to get the priest right. That's what He's turning the fire up for in the book of Malachi. I can also say that the Lord's trying to work in the church to get the church be a reflection of His glory. He wants to He wants for us to show ourselves to Him through the church. But God works on you and me as an individual, and that's what I'm dealing with right now, or I just have. But when I get to the book of Ephesians, I want you to look at this. The Bible's talking about the church in chapter 5 and verse number 26. He said in Ephesians 5:26 that He might sanctify and what? Cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now, how does God cleanse us? By the Word. He cleanses by the Word. That's God's fire. God's Word is like a fire. I can give you scriptures on that. Amen. It's like a wind. Amen. But it's like a fire. The Spirit of God like the wind. And the Word of God's like a fire. And it's like a hammer. Amen. Jeremiah talks about a hammer. But we'll find that the Word of God, God cleanses me with His Word. You said, what about the fire? He's put a, amen. He does that. That's the adversities, the troubles, the trials, the tribulations, the pitfalls that we face, and we bring them on ourselves, because all God's trying to do through every trial and thing that we go through is try to make us like Him. So He said here that He might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the Word. Verse 27, because here's what His whole makeup and whole concept of it is. That He might present it to Himself a what kind of church?
Glorious.
Glorious church, not having spot. You see that? Or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now what's He trying to do? Like the silver, He's trying to get the dross out. God wants us to shine. And hey, He's working on us. He'll work on us till we draw our last breath here. But thank God one of these days He'll accomplish that. Some of us He's had a harder time with than others, and especially like me. He's still having to work hard on me. There's a lot of things needs to be taken care of in my life. Now you may sit there and think you've done arrived and got there, but you just sit off to yourself. But I'm saying to you this morning, I hadn't got there yet. And He's still working on me. And so we'll see that that's what the Lord's trying to do. He's wanting to make us an instrument. And wants to let them, and see, the more the world can see, if Christ can see Himself in us, then the world can see Christ in us. You understand that?
And so we need to, that's where God wants us to be. And we're not really fit subjects to be what we ought to be until we get to where people can see Christ in us. Now, I'm not perfect, neither are you. And I'm far from it. But that's what he's talking about, the refiner's fire. Now, in this verse number 2, and we talked about that silver when he puts the heat to it, and when he gets it to a certain degree, and he gets all that dross off of it, and it shines. Silver, if it's polished, will shine like a mirror. And that's what he's trying to talk about. So, we're the precious things in the eyes of God. The Jew was, the church is now, and you and I as individuals are. But now what he says is, for he is like a refiner's fire. Now, it didn't say it's like a refiner. Don't get messed up there. He said he's like a what? Refiner's fire. He's like a fire. That's what he's doing. And he's trying to take the fire, which is the trouble, the heartaches, and the pain. There's a lot of pain in fire. And fire purifies and cleanses. And so God said he's like a refiner's fire. Now in verse number 3, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Now he's going to sit. He's what? Now the Lord is on the throne this morning. What's he doing? He's watching your life. He's watching mine. God knows the improvements that I need to make. God knows what's wrong in my life. The thing is, he knows it whether I know it or not. Most of the time, the improvements that I need to make are not known to me. I don't know about them. I may think I'm all right. But God is assessing it and putting it together. Hey, I can't see myself and there's still some dross. I've got you on the fire. The temperature needs to be turned up just a little bit. But that flash of light has not happened and I am not seeing myself. And so God keeps on. Sometimes it takes a long time for God to purify us. Amen. You ever wondered, I've seen this, I've had people tell me this. They say, preacher, I used to have a better time when I was lost. Since I got saved, I've had nothing but trouble, trouble, trouble. Have you ever heard people say that? And when I was lost, they say, everything. I didn't have the problems I got now, but since I got saved, I've had problem after problem. God's got you on the fire. He's trying to see himself in you. And you're rebellious. That's what's happened. We get to the place that we don't let the Lord be seen in us. Amen. But the Lord knows when to take the fire off. He knows when to do it. Now, we're the gold and silver of this nation for the Lord. We're the precious metals or the precious instruments that God can use to win the lost. Now, we'll see in that. Let's go back in verse number 2. And then there's another little phrase, and we're going to pick back up on the refiner in just a little bit. But I want you to notice something else. He said, and like fuller's soap. Now, he didn't say like the fuller. He didn't say he's like the refiner. He didn't say he's like the fuller. He said he's like the fuller's what? Soap. The fuller's soap. Now, everybody knows what soap is, don't you? It won't hurt none of us. Amen. Some folks are not as acquainted to it. I've done through the years, I found out they're not as acquainted to it as others. Amen. You said, preacher, you're picking on. I ain't picking on nobody. I'm just telling you, some folks are generous with soap and some folks just don't know how to use it yet. I run into them every day. Don't you? Amen. But anyhow, that's the thing about going down verse by verse in the Scripture. You always get, things come up. Amen. People think you're picking on them, you're preaching to them straight. But this is the fuller soap. He's talking about soap. Now, this is our text, soap. We all know what soap is. Somebody says, I like this kind of soap and that kind of soap, and I like this kind of, antibiotics things, and I ain't so sure we getting so many antibiotics off of us. We got so much antibiotic soap that we're taking off all the stuff and some of the stuff that we need. I think we're hurting ourselves with some of that. I don't know exactly where we ought to draw the line at. It's kind of like everybody's on diets and want to eat everything to keep them healthy, and we want to live a long time, and when you get to glory, you're going to walk down the streets and go and look over at your brother and said, if I'd known it'd been this good, I wouldn't have eaten so good. I wouldn't have watched out. I'd got here a little sooner if I'd known this was going to be. Amen. Ain't that right? I'm thinking about the saints of God. They got it made, and they're having a good time, and amen. And here we are trying to prolong our days here in the land of sin and sorrow. Amen. Just so we can live long.
and finding out and not realizing and really not cashing in on the thought that we got a better place to go. Amen. If you had a better place to go today here on this earth, I guarantee you'd try to find it. If you had a better place to live, what you're living in right now, I guarantee you, you couldn't hardly wait the service over to get there. You'd be trying to figure out how to get a U-Haul truck to get take your stuff to. But here we are, we know we got heaven. I'm not trying to get a load up this morning. But I'm telling you, sometimes our little minds get kind of cloudy with the issues. But anyhow, he said he's like Fuller's soap. Now, first of all, can I just tell you, what do you think a fuller is? Not much said in the Bible about a fuller. But let me just see if I can find let the Bible tell you what a fuller is before I do. Go to Mark, New Testament, book of Mark, Matthew, Mark, second book of the New Testament. And go to the 9th chapter of the book of Mark. And maybe this will clear us up on what a fuller is. Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 3. Amen. I believe that's right. Mark 9, 3. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. No, that's not it. Yeah, verse 3. And his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Now, what is a fuller, you think? Huh? A fuller is somebody, I'm teaching a person, a fuller is somebody that does some cleansing, cleans clothes, does the laundry. A fuller, is that plain enough for you there? Right there it is. A fuller is somebody that works on the cleaning of garments. Now, we've got that figured out. In Malachi, he said, and he's like fuller's soap. Now, the fuller, he uses soap. Now, to clear up a little bit more of that, let's turn back to Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2. And this is kind of interesting as we begin to study the Word of God and see a little bit about this. Jeremiah chapter number 2 and verse number 22. Jeremiah 2:22. Jeremiah 2:22, for though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. In other words, he's talking about like cleansing. And if you'll study Jeremiah chapter 2 here, you'll find out that they're looking for the physical, trying to clean the physical, and really not the spiritual. Now, when God cleanses us, he cleanses the spiritual. Correct? It's the soul, it's the heart, it's the inward part that God cleanses. Now, the reason that God is mentioning this in Malachi, first of all, about the refiner's fire, what does the refiner's fire do? And what does a refiner do? He gets the impurities that are on the inside of that metal out of there. He's working on getting anything. He could shine that silver up, he could shine that gold up, but if it's got impurities and it's got down on the inside some impurities, which may cause some specks and mars on the surface, he's wanting to get them impurities out of the inside of that gold and silver. So we find the refiners putting the fire on, and what's God trying to do? He's trying to cleanse the inside of us out. That's why he puts us on the fire. God's not trying to get our habits particularly cleansed up, because the habits are formed from what's on the inside. So God's trying to cleanse the inside with the refiner's fire. Then he comes with the fuller's soap, and with the fuller's soap, he's saying, hey, I'm going to cleanse the outside. See? And what we do when we try to clean the outside up and not worry about the inside. Now that's what makes Pharisees. Pharisees are those who've got the outside of the cup clean. They've looked good, they sound good, they smell good, they walk good. But on the inside, they've still got impurities. That's why he said that you're like a whited sepulcher. You're cleaned up and look good. You've got the flowers and the roses on the outside. But on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones.
God said you're just as dead as you can be. You may look like you're alive on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. And so that's why he's talking about the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. And God is saying in Malachi, and I believe this is interesting to you, God is saying here in Malachi what I want to do now, and when he comes, now remember this is yet future. This is prophecy. Verse 2 and 3 of Malachi chapter 3 is prophetic. Has not happened yet. It has not happened. Chapter 1, chapter 2, they were offering sacrifices that were unclean. They were offering sacrifices that were not pleasing in the sight of God. They were sick, lame, blind, and weak, and they would offer those, correct? The priests, they had changed the lifestyle of themselves and then at the same time the lifestyle of the people. Whether they were a reproach to the Lord and a reproach to the people around them. And they weren't exemplifying and magnifying the Christ or the Lord that was on the inside of them. And we do the same thing in this day of grace. So God is saying, what I'm going to do is turn this on and I'm going to burn out the dross and the impurities of your soul. Amen. Now you can be saved and have impurities. Amen. You can be saved and have some things that's not right. Hey, I hope you woke up sometimes ago and realized that when you got saved, you didn't become perfect. I hope you realize that when you got saved that you have still sinned. Everybody in this building, if you think you've been saved for 30, 40, 50 years and you haven't done anything wrong yet, you need to go back to the altar. Amen. You got shortchanged. Because I realize that all the years that I've been saved, I've done wrong, and you've done wrong. And I'll continue to do that, not because I've set it in my mind to do so, but because I got a flesh that I have a problem with. Amen. And so we look at these things, and I'm trying to make this as clear and plain as I can. And God's trying to say here, what I want to do is, in my days, when I'm coming, one of these days, when I get here, I'm going to solve this. I'm going to do some cleansing. And so I'm going to work on the inside, and I'm going to make the outside correct. Now, God does it right. We do it the opposite way.
Right.
So we mess up. So what did verse number 3 look at? So that's why he's talking about the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. Now, you can go back and look some more of that up if you want to. Look it up I guess you can look it up in encyclopedias and talk about the fuller. But the fuller works on cleansing the outside. And he's more in cloth. He works with cloth and clothes and those sort of things. And garments. And God's trying to say that our garments on the outside are dirty and we need the fuller soap. And what is the soap? God's Word is what washes us. Isn't that what we was talking about in Ephesians? We're cleansed by what? The Word of God. So the cleansing is brought by God's Word. And so God cleanses us. And he said in verse number 3, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify our silver. In other words, turning up and down the heat. And he shall purify. Look at that word, purify. When you purify something, you make it pure. You take the impurities out, what we've been talking about. He said, and he shall purify, first of all, he says, the sons of Levi. I mentioned this, I believe, the other day. And just passing, but the sons of Levi are who? The priest. The sons of Levi. He's going to purify the sons of Levi. That's who he's going to work on. So he's going to start at the top. Amen. Don't start at the bottom. He's going to get the leaders. He's going to start top. That's what we need today. Amen. Now, beloved, that's why in the church, and you say, well, I know that talking about the nation. Well, I'm not talking about the nation here. I'm not talking about the United States of America and the government and all that stuff. Sure, it needs purifying. But when we're talking about the Word of God, we're talking about God's people. We're talking about the spiritual side of this thing, are we not? Now, what I'm saying is, God wants to cleanse, and He wants to do it from the top down. There needs to be a cleansing from the pulpit to the pew. And that's how God will work it. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and secondly, and purge them as gold and silver. In other words, they'll be the impurities, and they'll see the reflection. I mean, God will see the reflection of himself in his priest, in the sons of Levi. And that's where God is wanting us today, that they may offer
unto the Lord an offering, how? In righteousness. In other words, they'll get the offerings right. All right? Did we see that this morning? So what he's doing, he said, I'm going to cleanse the sons of Levi, and I'm going to purge them as gold and silver. I'm going to cleanse them up. Now, it's going to take the hand of God to do that. And God will one day work on it. And he's even telling about how he's going to... This is Israelites. Remember, the Israelites will do that. They continue to work that way, and they'll still... God's going to take care of them. So the sons of Levi are the priest. And so he's the leaders. Now, in verse... And matter of fact, he's going to start with it before he actually comes. Because even after the rapture of the church, guess what's going to happen? He's going to seal a seal of God in the foreheads of 144,000 Jews. Not Gentiles, but Jews. Isn't that strange? Here we are in the day of grace, and God's working with us Gentiles. And some of us would get upset if God really always, all of a sudden stepped off and said, oh, that we'll work with the Jews for a while. Some of us, the church folk, that's why God moves His dispensations around, and He does it in their time. Amen. But after the church is gone, the church can't complain. They'll be with the Lord. Amen. So God reverts back to the Jew. He deals with the Jew. He seals them. And He starts with them, and He gets them to going through the Word. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. But at the end of this thing, God's going to wind up, finally, in the outset of it and the stop off, you're going to find that God is going to have a people that's going to glorify Him. And on this earth, a new heaven and new earth will be made, and God will have a set of people that will glorify Him, and all they'll see around us will be Christ in them. Amen. Now, the world don't see Christ in us in everything we do. They see Christ in us in certain things. Sometimes. Every now and then. Once in a while. Right? Come on, amen me. I know you're right. You with me.
Amen.
But they don't see Christ in you 24-7. Every once in a while, your wife sees Christ in you. Every once in a while, your husband sees Christ in you. Amen. Every once in a while, we'll see Christ in each other. But most of the time, amen. We won't say no more. We'll leave it there. So it said in verse number 3 that he's going to do it to the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. And in verse 4, he says, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem... Now we know who he's talking about. He's still talking about the Jews. He said, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto who? Unto the Lord. That might have been pleasant to them. Now they thought this all right. But now God's going to be pleased with their sacrifice. Let me ask you this. Is God pleased with your life? Is God pleased with these? No. But there's going to come a time that He will. And God wants to be pleased with your sacrifice. What is your sacrifice in this day of grace that God's got to offer? A living sacrifice. Your body. Amen. You find that Romans 12:1. Surely you know how to quote that. So we know that God wants to... Now, what did the Jews offer in the Old Testament? What was their sacrifice? Lambs, goats, bullocks. But it had to be without spot and without blemish. A perfect sacrifice. That is what they offered. That's what they had. Now, God wants us to offer a sacrifice today in the day of grace. It's our body. It's not a lamb. It's not a goat. Why is it not a lamb or a goat or any of the others?
Because
we don't need one of those anymore. We've got the Christ. We've got the Lamb of God who's come. We all already know that, you know. We're not trying to dig out something new. I'm just saying we know that. So that's the difference between us. They is looking to Him, and every sacrifice they offered was saying, hey, look, this is pointing to the Christ. But they were offering sacrifices with blemishes. Now, what are we doing in this day of grace? We're offering sacrifices with blemishes. Now, what is it? You and me. You say, well, I ain't got a perfect sacrifice to give Him. No, you don't. No, you don't. And that's something that needs to stay constantly, 100% continually in your mind. That we are not a perfect sacrifice. Therefore, that's why we present ourselves... How can we do it? At the altar. Because the altar is where we meet God, and we present ourselves a living sacrifice out there before Him at the altar.
And we ask God to take us and use us, make us and mold us. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. God said, I'm going to bring it back like it used to be. There was one time when it was right, it was perfect. When it started off with this, that's what, and God said, in the end, I'm going to fix it up again. This is prophetic. Yeah, anytime you're studying these little minor prophets in the Old Testament, you've got to remember, these are prophets. They're prophetic. And when we take them out of context and change that, we miss the meaning of it. So that's what He's trying to tell us here. There's some good applications throughout this book of Malachi, but God's trying to say, I'm going to straighten all this out. Now, chapter 1, chapter 2, the problems ahead, God said, I'm going to handle that in years ahead. Amen. Heads bowed. Father, thank You this morning for the study of the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for being able to open Your Word and look at things and apply them. Lord, help us today to magnify You and lift You and exalt You. Lord, to bring glory to Your name. Touch the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we pray.